Blog Talk Radio.
This is a man's world. I didn't want
one little thing without a woman or a girl. He's lost in the wilderness. He's lost in bitterness.
Hello, and this is today a great day, and everyone out there, call in. Let's talk. 215-347-8717. Okay. And today we're going to be talking about what's going on? A little bit of Washington, D.C. And Mr. Aline is going to be talking with us a little bit about what's going on with the interesting situation about computer access. And will everyone get computer access, or only the people who have lots of money and businesses? Okay, and we are waiting for him to call back in, and we will just hold tight and take a short break right now. Today, as I said, about what's going on in Washington, D.C. with access to our highways on the computer access. And David, you want to start us out with that? Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. And you sent me forwarded a letter to me by someone representing an internet access group claiming that Congress was neutralizing the Internet Net Neutrality Act for some reason, and that this was in the some House Appropriations bill proposed by the House Appropriations Committee, and I was looking at an attachment to this letter. And says the 20 to 30 party line vote on the Financial Services and General Government Appropriations Bill is the most direct action by Congress to stall the new rules since they were approved by the Federal Communications Commission in February. It's not very specific about what these rules do, but it's intended to block the newly implemented net neutrality rules temporarily. This would seem to be just another in the never-ending line of measures introduced by the Obama administration that the Republicans are determined to undermine in their general effort to undermine Obama's administration. Reading some more of this, it says, and this is a Democratic politician, we've received more phone calls on this issue than any other issue in a long, long time, Representative Jose Hirano said, of the Internet regulation. And I don't understand, this is quote, and I don't understand why some people can't understand that net neutrality is here. It is here to stay. what the American people want. Apparently, this bill, we are told, would enable internet providers to slow down internet publishing of presumably political notices or articles that they don't like. Serrano said the committee ranking Democrat Representative Nita Lowey, L-O-W-Y of New York, called the writer's veto bait. Representative Shelley Pennegree, a Democrat from Maine, called the internet provision crazy. I'm reading some more. Republicans despise the new rules, which went into effect Friday, and the appropriations bill would stop their implementation until a final court ruling, which could be early next spring. Says another rider would require any new FCC rules to be published for 21 days before a scheduled vote, a point of contention during a net neutrality debate, while FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler said his agency is completely uninterested in regulating the rates that internet providers charge consumers. The appropriations bill would specifically bar it, meaning that it basically prohibits a free market billing system for the internet, which I'm sure you can imagine if companies could just charge whatever they want. That's what they would do. They would charge whatever they want. Serrano said these limits would force the FCC to either spend more dollars later to move elsewhere or to make more cuts in the core functions to pay for it. This has to do with funding of the FCC, which under the Republican bill would take a big cut at a time when they're planning to move their headquarters and would mess all that up because they wouldn't have the money to move. So that's what that letter to you was about. The most important thing to me in this information is the term veto bait, and you know, the general acknowledgement that any such bill or rider is going to be subjected to a presidential veto. Now, as to specifically what the language is in this Net Neutrality Act, I couldn't tell you, but it obviously is intended to maximize access to the internet, and I can see no valid reason or meaningful reason for anybody to want to limit such access, except, as I said, these Republicans are determined in their own words, to make Obama's administration a failure, and if Obama's for it, they're against it.
Hello.
So that's all I have to say about it.
Okay, what do you think about that, Ashira? What's your take on it? As we recall, we had a conversation maybe a few months back, and what we were talking about is the fact that the congressional-backed Congress signed on to that bill that would limit internet access to certain people.
Well, I think it's horrible because initially I think it was Comcast that had a campaign for the internet to be accessible to all children so that they can be able to, you know, utilize the internet for homework purposes. And so to slow down the internet and to prevent certain information that we would be able to see, I think it is very similar to what this country complains about in terms of places like Korea. So, I mean, we're always complaining about how Korea or Iran restricts their citizens from being able to access different information and their rights. Well, that's the same thing. If you slow down the internet and prevent people from being able to access certain sites, which they have done already, but they're just going to maximize that effort. I think it's sad because, again, it's just voiding information. It's preventing people from being able to have access to information. And we shouldn't be like that. This is supposed to be a free country. And speaking of free, apropos of free, the dying internet should be free. It should be free. Why are you charging us for something that's not here free? This should be free, just like the light, the water, air, all of this stuff should be free. We shouldn't have to pay for this. And people complain about, you know, certain parts of Africa, and I know the continent has its issues. However, I know when I speak with some of my African brothers and sisters, they tell me that in certain parts of Africa, there's no such thing as paying a light bill. You come out there, you decide where you want to live, you hook up the wires to whatever, and you have your light. They find it quite odd that we're paying a light bill, and so do I.
But how would you maintain the grid and all of that? So you're basically saying the government basically should have should put in access to all of the utilities, and there shouldn't be any, like, utility companies with that structure.
Nope, you can go back to building limestone roads like they did in the ancient days to light up the city for us. That's what I said. It's something other than people having to pay $400 light bills, $100 or $400 light bills, whatever it is, $50. We shouldn't have to pay.
Okay. That's an interesting concept.
You know, I'm radical like that. You know, I'm just radical like that. I don't think that we should have to pay for college either. So, you know, that's just me.
Well, certainly Cuba has figured out a way to have people get a education that is actually a lot more effective than what we have, and everybody does get it if they want it. So that one, there is an example of it, and perhaps Africa is the example of utility, complementary utility services. So at any rate there, we have Mother Dunning with us. Mother Dunning, you have something I know that you are itching to talk about today, and we'll shift gears and put that out there. Welcome. Your phone is not working. I'm getting, it's just choppy, choppy, choppy. Maybe you're in an area that's not very, yeah, we can't hear you. You'll have to move to another area, and then we'll come back to you. And let me report on something that I read through, I think, the Daily Cross. Michelle Alexander has a, and I don't know what newspaper the article was in, but a friend of mine sent it to me, and they were talking about the incarceration rate. And the incarceration rate being very, very high, of course. I want to say, like, her article basically talked about it being greater now. There are more African-American men in what's called a pattern of correctional facilities located. You know, so many of them, more than there were that were enslaved. It was just astonishing to hear that.
Yeah, I think it's like over 2.6 million people that are incarcerated right now. There are more people that are being killed and incarcerated than during Jim Crow.
I was just, it was appalling to hear that. Wow. Oh, are you back, Mother Dunning?
Yes. Can you hear me? Is it better?
Oh, no. Let's see. Try it again. It's real choppy. It's really choppy. So probably the area that you're in.
Well, one thing
that's
trending now while Mother Dunning's getting her phone together is what emergency? That's what's trending now on Black Twitter. What emergency? Because, you know, Ferguson is in a state of emergency. And so what the people are saying is, what emergency? We've been in a state of emergency. We were in a state of emergency when they killed Trayvon Martin when he was walking down the street. We were in a state of emergency when they tried to lock up the Gina Six boys. We were in a state of emergency when they started incarcerating people. We were in a state of emergency when we still have segregated schools. So that's what's trending on Black Twitter right now. What emergency?
Okay.
All of a sudden, it's an emergency. We're in a state of emergency. We've been in a state of emergency. We've been in a state of emergency since we came over here as captives. Those that were captives, captured and brought over here, that was a state of emergency.
Absolutely. It certainly is.
It's an emergency because they've managed to concern the white population about it through all the demonstrations and the fact that there's violence. See, white people are concerned about violence and disruption. You look at these news articles on television, news clips about Ferguson, and they keep talking about unrest, violence, destruction of property. That's all they're concerned about. Peaceful demonstrations are, to them, are just, you know, rather quaint exercises by an inferior people for the most part. So that's why it's an emergency, because there's been looting and shooting. That's what makes it an emergency. Other than that, they could live with it for the next 10,000 years.
Right on, David. Right on. I want to send my condolences out to the family of that little boy that was shot in Ferguson, and they had him laying out on the ground. Wouldn't even administer CPR to him, as usual.
You're kidding. Tell us about that. I didn't know of that recently.
He was shot like 2 days ago in Ferguson on the 9th, Mike Brown's anniversary date. You know, they had the protests and things going on out in Ferguson, and there was some shooting. And they're saying that this young man is one of the people that started the shooting, which I doubt very seriously. Just can't believe
how old was he?
Police officer said, oh, gosh, I'm not sure of his age. I think his name is Christian Taylor, too.
Was he killed?
No, he's in critical condition now.
Yeah.
How old of young man is this we talking about?
We don't know, I guess.
Because,
something like 6 years old.
It's just getting so ridiculous with all of these protesting and this and that. If we haven't made a point by now with all of the protesting and everything, it ain't never going to happen. They could protest for the next 150 years and still be dealing with the same problems. This is they have to try to come to some other, deal with some other tactic than this. It's just getting stupid. These people are outside shooting guns up in the air and everything. What do they think is going to happen? Do they think anything positive is going to happen, come from all of that? It hasn't up to this point. It probably won't. You know, they got to come up with something better than this. It's as simple as that. They have to come up.
Well, there's been what's regarded as a lot of positive changes in Ferguson, which a black police chief and some other measures that have been taking place, more blasts on the city council and this and that. So I definitely think that something has come of it. And I am all in favor of demonstrating and raising hell, basically, because I think that
at what
raising
price,
up hell is gonna, it does make a difference.
At what price? I mean, they're raising
hell.
Well,
the price isn't all that bad. People are being killed anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
I
understand that.
So, you know, I don't think the price is too high to make it worth demonstrating. It's not like, you know, you have hundreds of people being mown down in the street and so forth. But I do not think that any think tank in the world is going to come up with some way to change white people's minds about black people and make them decide to act differently toward us. So, you know, I don't know what that would have to be.
Well, they protested 30, 40 years ago, David, and whatnot, and it still didn't change their minds. It's the same situation still prevails. So
I don't care what, you know, I don't care what they think.
I don't either.
You know,
you
I don't care
the one that brought up
to...
the change in their minds is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. This, none of this is going to change anybody's minds.
I'm not concerned about changing your minds. I'm concerned about changing your behavior. And, you know, the demonstrations in the 60s and early 70s, Selma and all of that stuff, I think that definitely made a difference.
I don't think what's happening now is making a difference. I'll be truthful. I just don't think all of this stuff is really doing that. People walking around talking about Black Lives Matter, I don't think anybody gives a hang. I don't think
they
people
don't.
Give a hang. It's simple as
that.
And I wouldn't advise anybody to waste their time doing that, man. I think there's other avenues they can take. I'm sorry. I just don't think all of this stuff matters. You know, that's me personally. I just think it's a waste of time. It's just, you know, it's something they've been doing since I'm almost 70 years old. They've been doing it all my life, and I don't see the difference, man. I'll be very truthful, but you know, that seems to be what they want to do. You know, and so you know, it's gonna have people are gonna get killed like this.
Well, like I said, they're getting killed anyway.
I understand that, but this thing, you know, it just, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't suggest that my children be out there going through all them changes, putting themselves in harm's way. I would tell them, you know, you got to figure out something better, you know, a different avenue, because it's just too dangerous out there to be dealing with that. You know?
Yeah, I think the marches were great last year to bring awareness, and I think that that's what the marches do. They bring awareness. Okay, so now people are aware. So now
they've
like
sister, they've been aware. They've already been aware. You know, they've been aware. This isn't bringing any awareness to anybody. They have been aware.
Well, I have to say that there are some black people, and I know this for a fact, there are some black people that still couldn't recognize the fact that we were being shot down in the street up until recently, unfortunately. You know, but yeah, white people, they know what the hell they're doing. They know the stripes that they're putting us under and all that. But there's some black people that just, you know, they just didn't get it. They didn't believe racism existed. They really
and
didn't.
And then they still, and a lot of them probably still don't. A lot of people are in denial. Let's face it. A lot of our,
certainly.
And let's face, you know, one thing. A lot of our people are going to be left behind. It ain't going to be no 100% of everybody, you
nope.
know. They're going to be left behind. A lot
nope.
of our people ain't ready and ain't never going to be ready. It's as simple as that.
Nope, not at all. And see, like, people like us, we've been feeling it, been seeing it, been knowing as long as we can remember. But you have some people that just really just now really waking up to the fact and saying, oh, wow, they really are killing us in the street. I mean, I had
Marcus,
a friend that sent me a text last week that said that.
Marcus Garvey was saying that in the 20s. And mm-hmm. his movement was as big as any movement. And here we are now in another millennium, and people still haven't gotten it. That will, just like poverty, there's always going to be poor people. People talking about, oh, the poor, we're going to do for the poor. There's always going to be poor people. Not that I don't have any empathy for the poor. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But that is something that's always going to happen. It's always going to be. Under this system, it's as simple as that. So there has to be different ways, a better way of doing something. You know?
Yeah.
It just has to be. Don't you think there are poor Jews? There are poor Jews. But as a group, I wouldn't consider them a poor group. But there are poor Jews. There will always be poor Jews. But as a group, no, they're not. I wouldn't consider them poverty stricken at all. You know, if you get my point.
Certainly.
I mean, there are poor Asians, poor Chinese, poor people. But they're not marching in the street and everything. They're using other methods to do things.
That's right.
I just think we need to think about formulating different consensus and different methods as in demonstrating and all that and always demonstrating and whatnot. I just, you know, for one thing, we're very undisciplined. I'm sorry, man, but we are just a very undisciplined group of people, man, and that's very important. Discipline is a very, very important thing to have.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we don't have.
And I think for a lot of black people, until their pastors make a statement in church and tell them these are the stores that we're not going to shop at, this is what we're not going to do, this is what we are going to do, then these people are going to keep dealing with the stagnated insanity, going in circles, marching up and down the street, hashtagging everybody that died every other day and all of that. Because
well, if they keep listening
so
to their pastors for advice, they're most certainly going to be marching around in circles. Don't get me talking about religions and whatnot, because I don't want to. But basically, if they continue to listen to their pastors instead of other people within the community, thinking for themselves, they're going to be chasing their tail. That's for sure.
And that's
exactly what we've been doing.
Marvin, I would really like to just, I wish there was some way I could do a survey and just see whose church, what church is actually addressing this issue and what church has a plan for the issue of our people being shot down and killed in the street and attacked by police. I really would like to know how many people's churches are actually addressing this each and every Sunday. I mean,
they're relying on the church to do it, but the parishioners in the church need to do it among themselves. They don't need the church to do it. They are the church. The church is here, and this is me. They are the church. If the church has 1,500 parishioners, the church is superfluous to what they need to do. They need to get together among themselves. They don't have to get together. It doesn't have to have anything to do with the church. It has something to do with themselves. You know, I mean, they
but
are the
that's the problem. But that's where the problem lies, though. They don't get that. They don't see that they don't need this one person to tell them this is what you need to do. Y'all see what the problem is. They living out here just like we are. But they don't want to do anything unless their pastor gives them some instruction.
I mean, in many cases,
marching
the pastor
order.
Don't even live in the community, first of all.
Exactly, like Joe Lowe.
I mean, he doesn't even live in the community. I had a girlfriend. I'm not a religious person, and I don't go to church, and I don't even discuss that. But I had a girlfriend years ago that was went to church. So just to satisfy her, I went to church with her every Sunday. And there was this young brother who was the pastor of this church and everything, and he was a pretty progressive guy. He had a family and everything and all of that. And eventually he left. Because the church, he could not afford to live, you know, he could not afford to, you know, he got a better offer from the synod, it was a Methodist church, I guess. They gave him a better offer in another area. He loved the people, he claimed, and I think he did. He loved the people in that area, and he really hated going, but he couldn't make it where he was living. In other words, it was like a job, and I really believe he sincerely believed in what he preached and all that. But he had to leave. You know, the pastor might not even live in the community that he's the pastor of. You know, so I mean, you know, we put too much into, I mean, I understand what the church has meant to our people and what it has done, but we put too much into that. It has to be something that comes from the people, within the people, you know. That's the way I feel. People got to get together and make some decisions. You got to get there. If you don't like the way the school's in your system, then you got to start getting on those school boards and changing and making sure they have textbooks, man, that are beneficial for your community instead of the junk that they give you. And this, that, and this. That's the kind of stuff that has to be done. I don't see it as being about the church, you know.
Important. I
agree with you. I agree.
Head on
top of
that, Marvin. So I guess the question is, how do we get the people in the church to move on
that? Well, it's a tough job, I'll tell you that much, because our people are such a very religious people. There is not a more religious group of people on this planet than African people. It's as simple as that. You know, it's very religious, you know, and we've bought into quite a bit of stuff that almost has us handcuffed.
Wow.
You know,
but you know what?
From a moral standpoint, I can't do such and such. I'm a Christian, and I can't do that. But doing such and such is the same thing to do, you know, because of the position we're in. But I'm a Christian or I'm a Muslim, and my religion says I can't do such and such. That's what we're facing. People will forsake their family over their religion. I mean, if you,
okay.
You know, it's as simple as that. You might
can
be
I
my
ask,
brother or my cousin,
here?
but God said such and such, and I'm sorry, I can't go with you. You know, that, I mean, that's what we're dealing with. It's very hard.
Hey, Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this, and this is a question I'm posing.
Hello?
I would say there's probably, based upon statistics, and I've said this before, 10-15% of the population now that attends a church. The reason the church seems to be a place where something needs to happen is simply one reason. It is organized, and a lot of people go there. What about question. What about it if, in fact, we tap into the source of people who don't even attend churches? And there's like tons of them out there. Those might be the better strategy that I think maybe look at, because there's just so many of them. But we don't somehow want to tap into that, or we haven't figured out a way how to organize those individuals who are not churchgoers. Because I'm going to tell you, there's only on our line every week, there's only, and this is probably a pretty good indication, if we have, let's say, out of the 6 to 7 panelists that are talking on a regular basis, it's only 2 of them that are regular churches. And so you're looking at, okay, somebody do the math on that. That's probably about the way our whole community is, an African-American community.
I agree with you on that, Hattie. But the thing, I'm not specifically talking about people that go to church. I'm talking about people that are religious and believers. There's a big difference.
And mentality.
Most people probably don't go to church, but it's subconsciously they're very religious. They still have a Christian background or Muslim or whatever it is, and they still believe that. They might not go to church. My father was baptized a Catholic. He swore he was a Catholic. He never went to church in his life. He used to fight my mother tooth and nail on religious base principles and whatnot, man, against her religion and whatnot. They used to go back and forth, but he never went to church at all. But he still was, you know, in his mind, he was a Catholic.